Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Max Rothery, VP of Community at Finimize. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Max.
No worries. Great. Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Of course. Let's start off with an easy question for all of our listeners. Would you please share a quick 30-second intro about yourself?
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm Max. I'm VP Community and I head up the team at Finimize. Look, my job is all about how we engage our members. So it's about how we bring our members together, create value, and then how do we share that insight across the rest of the business?
Awesome. So you just mentioned that you guys have a community. I've done my little bit of research quickly and learned that in 5 years, you guys have gone from 0 to 1 million plus members. What were some of the strategies that you and the Finimize team put in place to achieve this goal?
Yeah. So it's actually a question that I get asked a lot. And for me, the least impressive thing about what our community team has achieved is the scale. A lot of that is down to the growth team, not community. You know, our job is once, you know, a member joins Finimize, what that experience is like for them. In the early days, a lot of our growth did come down to just having a great product that people needed. And that drove the word of mouth and helped us build that scale. But I think when it comes to growth, I think it's really easy to put those targets on a community team. So we're pretty strict about, like, our job is about making the experience once they're here, once they've arrived, we take it from there.
Fair enough. So then I'll change the question now that I have additional context to how has kind of onboarding essentially more or less 1 million plus members evolved in your time?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So Finimize started out as a newsletter. And what we're now today is like a whole platform. So there's many different ways that you can interact with Finimize. But the thing that's special about what we do, I don't know, do you invest any money? Have you invested?
Yep. I am. And I love my stocks.
You do? Okay.
Oh yeah. I love it. I'll talk about stocks for like a whole podcast episode.
How great is that, right? Like there are so many people out there that are excited to talk about like their personality and who they are is reflected in their portfolio and what they're interested in. But when you try and look for financial information, I'm just like you, right? Like when you go and look for that information, say you go to Google and you try and find a place, nothing really resonates. You've got a whole spectrum. And on the one end of that spectrum, you've got really high quality, but fairly dense and impenetrable and quite frankly, boring, you know, finance content that's always behind a very expensive paywall. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got a lot of noise that is, sure, it's digestible and accessible. Like let's talk social media, TikTok, but it's really difficult for you to trust that content. So what Finimize did, and like really this is where our growth came from, this is where why the community is so engaged, that we hit that problem of like people are looking for high quality information, but that was just built for the modern investor, that was friendly, accessible, and didn't mean that you had to look at charts all day. And I think what happened was as soon as people landed in our newsletter, they felt, okay, this is a space for me. And then we did the same thing with our events. Like when you come to a Finimize event and you look around the room, you know you're in the right place. Like finally you're around similar people to you. And we've just kept that up. Like, how do we keep that feeling up from when you're reading the newsletter to when you're onboarded to when you come to one of our events to when you meet another member? And that's kind of how we really, you know, established like that Finimize feeling throughout every touch point.
Okay, I love that you guys have a Finimize feeling. I just want to let you know. I love the alliteration. That's amazing. I will equally add on that scale. I think that like somewhere between super dense, at least from my perspective, and social media content on investing, I also will actually check Glassdoor and G2 reviews because I find those much more to be digestible, especially for like tech stocks. because then you're getting the voice of employees, which is an important audience, but then you're also getting the voice of the customers. So I've actually started to implement those as outside sources that I will check when I'm investing in tech.
There you go.
But that is not why we are here today, unfortunately, or fortunately. But so that's really interesting that you guys have kind of grown from a newsletter to a community now with like events and tons of other offerings. So how did you and the team build and prioritize the roadmap for the community?
Yeah. Well, I guess we started with this concept of like what the difference between a community and an audience is, a members interacting with each other. And we knew that from day one, that that's where we want to be. And that's where we think the power is. And that's what makes us different and special. And you know, we knew that even when we started 5 years ago. So then we start looking at, okay, how do we bring members together to create value, like genuine value? And we know that people come to Finimize in order to become smarter investors. So how can we help our members become smarter investors by interacting with each other? And what became really clear is that instead of just sitting down and reading a book or reading our newsletter and reading our content and then becoming good at investing, a bit like getting to grips with a new language, it's really important that you actually invest, and also really important that you discuss with other people, and really important that you broaden your horizons with different opinions from experts and, you know, people that have got a different background to you. So we knew that was important. And we knew that we couldn't just run events ourselves. So we started to think, okay, what if our members ran those events, you know, on behalf of the Finimize brand for people for in their areas? And that was like the first instance where we started to have this, you know, real community-led growth. I think this year we'll have over 70,000 people attend Finimize events run by Finimize members. You know, we've got about 100-150 different hosts hosting all over the world, all different time zones. There's an event taking place at least every day. We could not have done that with a community team of 2 or 3 people. So we knew that from a really, 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 really early stage. But when it comes to the roadmap, we're always reflecting back to that. Like, okay, well, how do we create value for our members? What's the key insight that we know will help and aid? And then how can we use community tactics to make sure that they get that experience? You know, the same is true with content. The same is true with, you know, if you want to discover new investment ideas, we can hire analysts and they can tell you theirs, but there's something really special in how fast you can scale and the richness of diversity that you get when you empower your community to, you know, take part in your mission.
Definitely would agree. So I'm going to double tap on that. You guys have hosts around the world, as you mentioned. How did you identify those people? Do they have like expectations in terms of that role and kind of like slight higher podium that you guys are putting them on? And also then, how are you rewarding them for being a leader in the community and so active?
Yeah. So in terms of like, how do we source them or how do we decide who becomes a host? You know, we have thousands of applications a year. The wonderful thing about having over 1 million subscribers on our newsletters that we have scale, and that allows us to do really interesting things with community. So we have about, I think last year we had, you know, 2,000-3,000 applications to be a host, and only 5% of those made it through to actually becoming a host. And we played with that friction a lot. You know, in the early days, we might let more people come host, then, you know, maybe we let less people come host, and we play with that friction. That, I guess what we then did is like break down that pipeline and start looking, okay, who are the successful hosts and what makes them great? And there's 3 key ingredients to that. And the first one is, you know, are they intrinsically aligned around our mission? You know, I used to work in finance, and there is a joy that I get all aligned to our mission around showing people that this isn't that complex. Like, you can engage in this topic. Like, you know, you pay it forward, you give it back. The second thing is, you know, professional network was really, really powerful for us. when you're working in finance and, you know, you're more ambitious than, you know, what other people around you see, to be going back into work every day and saying like, hey, like 2,000 people came together last week to watch my event, you know, that puts you on a new level in your own surrounding. And, you know, we always see our hosts get promoted and move on to better things in their professional career. And then third, we do look for some experience or expertise in that topic. And that's important because it's a very different mindset when you're building a community business to building a traditional, say, a media firm. Media firms are built or traditionally built where the authors, the journalists, the analysts live in ivory towers. We know what's good. We know what's going to trend and we're going to tell you. There is no way that I would be able to tell you what's going on in the Asian electric vehicle market better than someone that is living, working in Asia and is interested in that sector. So just empower them and give them the tools and they'll put on a fantastic event. They know exactly who the right speaker is, but no one's asking them to do that. So we just give permission to amazing people and we give them access to an amazing audience. And it's built a really, really nice ecosystem.
That's awesome. I love that you guys have essentially just created like global ambassadors for Finimize to help other people on their financial freedom like journey. That's awesome. So we've talked about now how you guys engage with members, how you guys have developed the community. Next clear piece really is, what are your key metrics or to measure the health of the community? And do you have a North Star metric that if you just watch this one thing, you know that the community is doing well? If so, what is it?
Yeah. How do I do this? So it's really difficult. I think when I first started, I really believed in trying to map community health. I really believed in getting really detailed metrics. And it's so hard to do because it's so different for every different community and it changes on an ongoing basis. And there's so many different things that you can kind of plug into that equation. What we do now is kind of a two-speed approach. So we have a very practical weekly tracking system of how engaged our community is and are we achieving our key metrics? And they basically come down to like, are we growing? Are we providing value? Which you kind of measure with, you know, NPS. And are we retaining? Like, how long are people sticking around in the Finimize community for? Those three will give you a pretty good sense on a weekly basis of, you know, are you on track towards your key metrics? What we also do once a quarter is like, we really believe in the qualitative side of things. You know, I gave a presentation that's, I think it's available online around our community promise. And for years, you know, companies have built brand promises. What we did is we took that brand promise, which for us was basically, you know, we help people to become smarter investors through digestible and intelligent investing insights. That's what we do internally. But we then took that to our community and said, like, look, this is your job too. Like, this is what we're all here for. Let's all help each other become smarter investors. So what we'll do once a quarter is kind of zoom out, survey as many of our members as possible and really check in with one-to-one interviews on, look, are we helping you become smarter? And that's really broad, but I love it when it's broad because that's when you can get that qualitative feedback and really dive into, okay, what does smarter mean? Like, who are the groups of people that have succeeded? Who are the groups of people that haven't succeeded? And where can we adapt that journey? So, you know, we're very, very, very metric focused. But at the same time, always take the time every quarter to step back and have that big picture view. Are we moving towards, in general, where we want to go?
I love that. The nice balance of qualitative meets quantitative. Love that approach. So you mentioned that, and I've seen a little bit from Twitter, that you're active on Twitter some. Another one of your team members is active on Twitter as well, who I'm thinking of for sure. So I'm a little curious at how have you built out actually the team of community at Finimize, meaning job titles, responsibilities, things like that?
Yeah. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. Very relevant to what we're doing at the moment. So Finimize is scaling very, very fast. If there are any community managers, hit me up on Twitter now. We're scaling very, very fast. And it's a really important sort of inflection point for me personally to like reflect, how do we want to build this team? Who do we want to attract, and what roles do we give them? I think for anyone that's in a startup or an early stage company or, you know, an early stage community, we always just start general, really generalize. We bring a community manager in that is just going to work across all different facets of community. And then as we scale, what I'm trying to do is let people specialize. Community is so broad that different people are going to be attracted to different areas. They're going to enjoy different areas more. They're going to get, you know, they're going to be able to apply their skills in different areas better than others. And as you scale, that becomes a lot more important. And a big part of the Finimize brand is empowerment. And a big part of our culture is empowerment. So what I try and do is like really understand and match those two things up of, okay, what does our community need? And where is our team ready to start specializing? Now, for example, our team last year ran. So Michelle is an incredible community manager that's been with us for like 2-3 years now. She started off very, very general. And then last year, when she sort of really focused in on this specialized, ran an ambassador program, like 50 to 100 people, 70,000 people attending across like 40, 50 different countries. We ran the biggest virtual crypto summit of all time. Just one person did all of that. That's such a great example where like now Michelle is probably the best in the world at running an ambassador program at scale and definitely in finance. And that just gives someone such real deep knowledge and expertise. So if you bring people in and you let them start general, I personally would see where they flourish, where they enjoy, what they're really great at, and just let them really focus down and hone in on that. Because over time, you'll build a team that have got specialities in different areas, but can also kind of cover and start new things and get involved in new ideas and new projects.
I love it. That's a great way to approach building out a community team, especially as community teams in general are just such a relatively new, young thing outside of a handful of companies such as like Salesforce, Atlassian, HubSpot, really, are kind of the main ones I think of who did this like a long time ago and have now the generations of teams.
The OGs, as I call them.
Exactly. I mean, pretty much. You are definitely right about that. So we've now talked about how you build out your team, which I think is really interesting. And zooming out even further, what are your biggest trends that you're most excited about for 2022 and beyond in community?
In community or in life? Yeah.
Community.
In community. So I guess the biggest trend that I'm excited by at the moment is ownership. And I think for community, so you mentioned some of the OG companies, and they're the people that I studied, you know, over the last 3-4 years of like how you build community. The thing that is really now testing us as community professionals is like, how do we enable our members and our customers to participate in the upside of us scaling and growing this business and all them amazing contributions? And I think there's three ways where we're seeing that play out. And the first of those is crypto. So crypto, you're seeing ownership from day one, where people can, for participating in engaging and building, they're rewarded with tokens. And the more value that they create, the more in demand those tokens are, and they can participate in the upside themselves. I think the second area, which is big in the UK and you're starting to see in the US, is crowdfunding. So investing in customers, investing in early stage startups and seeing that their capital is going toward building a really valuable and engaging space. And then the third is public companies really trying to engage retail shareholders. So, you know, Robinhood went public and they're really focused on trying to, you know, engage their most passionate advocates to buy into that stock, right? For one reason or another, but that concept of like, imagine if Nike were doing this, right? Imagine if Nike were like encouraging people to not just own a piece of the company, but have a say in the company's future. And I think this trend of community ownership is really going to play out, because if you have a really strong relationship, like Finimizers are nuts about Finimizers. Like the relationship I have with our million audience is unbelievable. I have 10,000, 20,000 people messaging each other, you know, on a weekly basis. Like I have a really, really strong relationship and understand them very, very deeply. If Nike did this at scale and all those people own stock in the company, it then becomes interesting to shareholders, because if together we're defining the future of this company, and the more we deliver what our shareholders and our customers want, the more the stock price is going to increase. That's where I think there's this really interesting trend, which takes me on to the second big trend that I'm interested in, is talent in the community space. Because I think if you take that concept of community ownership and how it can impact revenue and company share price, there's one of the most important people that you need in the boardroom is a chief community officer. And there aren't chief community officers out there. There's a handful in the world, but there's very few with the skills to step in at a public company level that have led and can deliver for shareholders and can deliver for their customers. That means that there's a massive opportunity for all of the community professionals that are figuring this out along the way as we go. And in the last, you know, 2 years, the quality of content and the amount of sharing happening between community managers on how to deliver and build communities has been fantastic. I think the next thing that needs to happen is that same thing, this reduce the information barriers for people to be strategic community leaders. I'm working on a side project at the moment that's going to try and bring some of those people together. But really the goal, that what I found moving into the strategic and senior community level, was like, you have to figure it out for yourself on the way. Now, the more we can give back to community managers, the more we can give back to people coming up that ladder, then I think it's only going to open up the door for a really, really, really cool senior role for anyone that's been working in community. And then the final trend that I'm interested in, so that was community ownership, I think is great. I also think the chief community officer and talent is like something I'm watching very, very closely. And then the third thing, which I think is really cool, is sort of the switch between broad social networks and then vertical brand communities. So you're seeing a lot of businesses start to build community first. And instead of building their communities on Twitter or on Facebook, they're building their product as like a community product. So I think, you know, for example, for us, we're in the finance space. You've got like a Duolingo in the language space. Like the more public in the US on their stock market and community and their stock market, and they've taken a real community approach to that. I think you're going to see more and more and more of this, where people build their own, they own their own community rather than using the broad social networks, and people find their communities through products and brands rather than going to the broad social networks. So yeah, those are the three things I'm playing with at the moment and interested in.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And again, thank you so much, Max, for being on the Community Led Growth Show today. If people want to follow and or connect with you on social, what are the best channels and or handles for them to do so?
Find me on Twitter. So if you type in Max Rothery on Twitter, I should be the only Maximilian Rothery that is out there on Twitter. So find me, add me, DM me. I'm here for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you.